This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Ohio lawmakers sent Governor John Kasich their proposed two-year, $71.2 billion state operating budget last Friday. Kasich is planning to sign it tonight. And joining us to discuss the various provisions outlined in the budget are Ohio Public Radio and Television State House News Bureau Chief Karen Kassler and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Karen and Howard, thank you for being here today.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
Karen, the governor's planning to sign this tonight. What was the process like to craft the budget? I mean, what were the steps they had to go through to get it to this point? And how long did it take to get it from its early stages to where we are now?
Well, the budget used to be a two-year document, and now it seems like it's more of a yearly document because you do have the two-year budget, and then every other non-budget year, you have this budget correction document, which we call the MBR, the mid-biennium review. But so for this budget, it was first introduced by Governor Kasich back in February, and then it went to the House, and things changed a lot between his introduction in February, where he had a 23% across-the-board income tax cut, he had a severance tax increase, he had tobacco tax and sales tax and commercial activity tax increases, a lot of different things going on in there, a totally different school funding situation. When it went to the House, things changed a lot. A little over 2 months after it was proposed by the governor, the House came out with their version of the budget. And again, these are all Republicans who are discussing this, so this is not the minor party debating this here. Republicans' budget came out, and it was a 6.3% income tax cut, down from 23%. There was no severance tax here. There was no tobacco tax in the House version of the budget. A totally different school funding plan. Then it passed the House, went to the Senate. It passed the Senate only a couple of days ago, really, and it was different there in the Senate. Then it went to the conference committee, and conference committee eventually came up with a final document. So we're, you know, 6 months into this almost, and we're going to get a signature tonight, and Governor Kasich has told us that he's going to veto some items in it. He does have the line item veto power, but of course he wouldn't preview what those vetoes would be. He will tell us what those are tonight.
You have any idea, though, Karen, what you think might be subject to veto by the governor?
I really don't know. Typically, he, in these budget documents, has vetoed things that are really not the biggest high-profile things. I mean, the fact that there's no severance tax in there is one thing that bothers him. Obviously, the line item veto doesn't do anything for that. He's not going to veto the income tax cut. He's not going to veto the small business tax cut that's in this. He's not going to veto the school funding plan. He's not going to veto the abortion language that was put in there by the conference committee, though there are groups out there that want him to do that. There are the highest-profile provisions, the ones that have gotten the most attention. I don't see him vetoing any of those.
I guess there are some things in there that he believes would kind of curb his executive power that may be vetoed, but I don't know specifically what he's talking about.
Right. And of course, he wasn't going to give us any details. Typically, the governor, when he does issue his veto statement, it's a printed statement. He doesn't really remark on that. So,
yeah. Karen, I mean, you followed this process all the way from the beginning. Like you pointed out, the document that he presented to the legislature was vastly different from what, you know, is going to be signed
Indeed.
Tonight. And as you also pointed out, these are all Republicans.
Right.
And they're not on the same page. Why is there such a difference between, say, the House Republican caucus, the Senate Republican caucus, and where Kasich seems to be on these issues, particularly the tax issues?
Well, I think they are on the same page in the sense of cutting taxes. That's what Republicans have talked about. And Kasich has been very clear from the moment he launched his campaign for governor that he wanted to cut the income tax, ideally to eliminate the income tax.
Yeah.
He's gotten the income tax down now below 5% for the top levels. That, he said, was a goal. But unfortunately for people who want to cut the income tax, it does have to be paid for in some way, either with spending cuts or with tax increases. And Kasich's measure has been always to try to cut income taxes by shifting the reliance of the state from income taxes to consumption or sales taxes. And that's what his budget reflected.
Right.
That's where the severance tax came in, the tobacco tax, which would have been a dollar under his budget, an increase in the sales tax, the commercial activity tax. House leaders don't like these tax increases. They never have. He had proposed a tobacco tax increase a year ago, and they didn't even consider it. That wasn't even given any sort of a hearing at all in his mid-biennium review. So for it to come back in the Senate version of the budget, it went from 40 cents, the senators had proposed, to 35 cents in the conference committee. So it's a slight increase, but there's no way to pay for a 23% across-the-board income tax cut with a 35-cent per pack tobacco tax. So, you know, that's been the real struggle here is how do you pay for these tax cuts? If you want them, you got to pay for them. How are you going to pay for them?
Well, they just don't like tax increases of any kind, period.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you've got Representative John Becker from Cincinnati, who's been a guest on the TV show that we produce here, the State of Ohio, who came up with his own alternative budget, which basically cut all taxes for the most part. I mean, not totally, but you know, really made some sweeping tax changes. And that's actually one thing that is in this budget, this idea of a tax blue ribbon tax task force that would try to look into tax policy and figure out where tax cuts can come from. Because I think the legislators were getting a little frustrated by the governor's budgets because they didn't want these tax cuts and tax increases proposed that they were having to cut out. So the whole idea was to try to get to something that would be an overall tax policy going forward. The problem is, though, that these legislators are only here for 2, 4, 6, 8 years. And after they're gone, what happens then? And subsequent legislators then have to deal with the tax cuts and the tax increases that are put into place.
And that task force is supposed to revisit the oil and gas fracking tax increase.
That's a separate task force.
We have different
task forces going on. That one was an interesting one because it was this moment where the House Speaker and the Senate President were there and they were going to be announcing, it looked like some sort of a deal on the severance tax. And they announced that after years of talking about the severance tax increase, they're going to talk more about a severance tax increase in a task force. So they took it out of the budget, took it away from the budget deadline pressure of today being the end of the fiscal year, and it took it to a deadline of we'd like this task force to have a report for us by October 1st. So there's no guarantee that there's going to be any sort of an increase on oil and gas. It's just we'll have a report from the task force on October 1st.
So there's, but there's supposed to be another report then looking at maybe long range a flat tax.
Right. That's a proposal that came out of the Senate budget, a flat tax on small businesses after a certain percentage here. And that's something some lawmakers do want to move toward, the idea of a flat tax. But there's a lot of people who have serious concerns about how a flat tax would affect people at the bottom levels of the economic scale.
You know, Karen, it sounds like from what you're describing that it's like the old saying about making sausage. Making a budget is probably the same thing. I mean, you really don't want to see the process. It's pretty ugly.
And it takes a long time, too. That's the other thing. I mean, you know, the conference committee, which is supposed to be, it's six lawmakers, four Republicans and two Democrats in this case, who were supposed to take the House and Senate versions of the budget and come up with something. And it was supposed to be a pretty routine process. The night that the conference committee came out and read their amendments, it took like 7 hours. So this is a long, drawn-out process. It takes a lot of time, and it can frustrate a lot of people, including people who are involved in it.
So if Governor Kasich, whatever he might veto, do lawmakers have any recourse at that point?
No. This is a line item veto. He gets his final say here in the budget. I mean, he's not going to veto the entire document. Obviously, he had a hand in crafting some of these things. I mean, like I said, the tax cut that's in there, the small business tax cuts he's in favor of, some of the other things he's okay with. You know, the school funding piece is really a challenge, I think, for him because he had wanted to change the school funding formula so that higher property tax, higher wealth districts were actually going to have to pay more locally, and so more money could go to these lower wealth districts and lower property tax districts. And that didn't go very well because it would have, the formula that he presented had half of the districts in the state of Ohio losing money in this first fiscal year, and lawmakers weren't having any of that.
And now this budget has none of them losing money.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what do you think might be the impact of a 2-year tuition freeze on 2-year and 4-year colleges, Karen?
I think that's a really interesting thing here that especially Senate President Keith Faber has been talking about, the idea that college tuition is getting too expensive. Ohio is consistently ranked among one of the most expensive states to go to college in. And he wants this whole idea of a 5% reduction in costs for colleges on their students. And so this is kind of keeping in line with that, this 2-year college tuition freeze. And I believe there's a 2-year cap on costs as well. Now, the question would be, in 2 years, are they going to, college presidents just going to ask for 2% more when they get the ability to do so? But there's really been a pressure and an emphasis on lowering college costs and try to get those down. And Kasich had been working with the college presidents, a group of college presidents, to talk about how to best dole out the money that the state gives for capital improvements and for building projects, and to try to see if colleges and universities could work together and not each fighting for their own piece of the pie, but to work together a little bit. So this is an effort that's starting, but it's something that lawmakers are really paying a lot of attention to. A lot of their constituents are very concerned about the cost of college in Ohio.
You know, one of the things I always look at when I look at a state budget or any kind of document like that is which set of lobbyists are dancing on their desks right now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, you have to look at the big winner right here being the oil and gas industry.
Right.
They got that severance tax taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting when they had this press conference that I mentioned with the House Speaker and the Senate President talking about the task force that's going to be formed now. Representatives of the oil and gas industry were in the room then passing out a statement saying, we applaud lawmakers for taking the severance tax out of the budget, but we're still opposed to a severance tax increase. So, you know, they're definitely the biggest winners here. And I mean, you can look at things like charter schools and mm-hmm. You know, school districts, arguably, if they change the way that Governor Kasich had proposed it, they won a little bit here. But, you know, there are also a lot of people who would consider themselves losers in this budget as well.
Karen, go over some of the other highlights of this bill, if you would.
Well, I mean, you've got the 6.3% income tax cut. You've got some other measures that deal specifically with small businesses, an elimination of income taxes on small businesses. And you've got some the tobacco tax goes up 35 cents. Those are the main highlights, I would say. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the school funding provision that make sure that no district gets less money this year than they did last year, so they're kind of held harmless in a way. The tuition freeze, as a matter of fact, across the board there for 2 years. Those are the main points. I think those are the ones that most people are looking at and saying that those are the things that they really look at as being the high points there.
How do you think this compares to past budgets the state has had?
Well, it continues this trend of changing from the reliance on income taxes toward sales and consumption taxes. I mean, this is a policy that Kasich had started when he came into office with his very first budget. He was very clear that he was going to move toward that. And this is kind of a continuation of that. I think Kasich and the administration see these budgets as, you know, chapters in a book, so to speak, that they are moving forward toward their vision of what they want the state to be. They have 8 years now to make their mark here, and they're certainly doing it in terms of cutting the income taxes and changing these things. What it's doing, though, in cities and townships and counties, they're telling me that it's forcing them, and school districts as well, to a lesser degree, perhaps, it's forcing them to start thinking about levies and how they're going to replace the money that they're not getting from the state. I mean, local governments have gotten big cuts in budgets, especially the first budget that Kasich proposed. And so local governments have had to do a lot of work to try to make up that money. And mm-hmm. that's where the whole red light camera thing, I didn't even mention that. The red light camera issue is back in the budget. This budget would actually tell cities that are still using red light cameras, and there are only a few that have gotten court orders to allow them to use them, that if they raise whatever money they raise through those red light cameras, they have to report that to the state, and that money will be deducted from the money the state does give to those cities.
We're talking with Karen Kassler, Ohio Public Radio and Television State House News Bureau Chief, and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson about Ohio's next 2-year budget. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. And Howard, Kasich has said, quote, what we achieved here, we should be able to crow about from the roof of the Capitol and across our great state. So will he be crowing about it in places like New Hampshire, Iowa, and South Carolina too? I mean, is it
he already is
the kind of thing he can run on as a presidential candidate?
Well, of course he can. I mean, that's the whole basis of his campaign right now, at any rate, is this story of, you know, I came into office.
I cut taxes. I balanced the budget.
$8 billion deficit. And, you know, now we've got a surplus. You know, I've done all these things. And of course, that's what he's going to talk about. That's all, you know, it's the Ohio story. I can do in Ohio. I can do in Washington what I did in Ohio. I mean, that's the basis of his campaign. Plus, the very real fact that no Republican has ever been elected president without winning Ohio. And he looks at himself and says, I can do that.
And you mentioned the savings fund, the rainy day fund that Ohio has. Mm-hmm. This budget actually increases the amount of money that can go to the rainy day fund.
Right.
And, you know, the number that's often touted is 89 cents was in the rainy day fund when Kasich took over. And now there's $1.5 billion in there and it's going to get even bigger. Democrats are really frustrated with that because they feel like some of that money could be used to help local governments restore what was cut in Kasich's original budget. Yes. And that's just simply not going to happen.
You know, speaking of Democrats, and we don't talk a whole lot about them because there aren't that many of them in the legislature at this point, but they were complaining about this budget in particular, saying, you know, that it would, there were tax changes in here that would shift the burden from the wealthy to the middle class and the poor. What are they talking about specifically? Do you know?
Well, I think they're talking, they've been talking about this for quite a while. They say that anytime you shift from income taxes to the sales and consumption taxes, you do have an adverse effect on people at the lower end of the economic scale.
Right.
And they say that these tax cuts really, they benefit the wealthy much more than they benefit people at the lower ends of the scale. And I know Policy Matters Ohio has done some work in this area and said that, you know, this particular tax cut would give thousands of dollars for people at the top end of the scale. And at the bottom end, they actually, in the middle and the bottom, will actually cost people money. I'm looking at their website right now and saying that the top 1%, it's about $10,000 in tax benefits here. And the lowest 20%, it's actually a $20 a year tax increase. Once you add everything all together, that
right.
is.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. And let's talk with Doug in Hamilton. Hi, Doug.
Hello, and I think you may have just addressed this issue because I've switched from the radio to the phone, but my concern is just that as a state, as we shift from more progressive kinds of income-based taxes to these consumption taxes for everything from Ohio budget to the bridge going across the river, that it does impact middle to low-income people much more disproportionately than upper-income people, and I wondered whether anyone is challenging that at the state level.
Well, certainly Democrats have been challenging this. They've been saying all along that this is a budget that does very little, if anything, for people at the lower ends of the economic spectrum and really almost punishes them. And they point to things like, you know, the 35 cent a pack increase in the cigarette tax. People who are going to be paying that typically are on the lower end of the economic scale. And so that coupled with income tax cuts and property tax changes and this sort of thing, the 3% flat tax on business income over $250,000, all of these things, Democrats say, do a lot for the people, the top 1%, the top 5%, and then even the next 15%. But the people in the bottom fifth, which is a pretty good sized number of folks, this is really not helping them at all and could potentially even be hurting them.
But until that day comes when the Democrats have control of the legislature again.
Right.
This is the way it's going to be.
Right. I mean, you've got a supermajority of Republicans in the House and Republicans dominate Democrats 2-1 in the Senate. You've got a Republican in the governor's office and they are on the same page in this idea that they believe that tax cuts do spark economic growth. And so while they differ in how to pay for tax cuts, they do believe in that. And like Howard said, until the party leadership changes there, that's probably the way the budgets are going to be.
Kasich can look at this budget and say, okay, I didn't get everything I wanted, but, you know, in the end, I can live with most of this.
That's exactly what he said on Friday, too, when right. he had a little press conference announcing his thoughts on the budget. And that was almost exactly what he said there.
And so that's why you're not anticipating any, like, sweeping changes in terms of line item vetoes.
Right. I mean, you know, Kasich hasn't been in Ohio a lot in the last couple of weeks, yes, as you may or may not have noticed.
Yes, I have noticed.
And so I don't know that he's really been following the budget discussions as right. closely as those of us who are actually here watching it day in and day out. But certainly he's got some things that he's concerned about. But like I said, I just don't expect them to be the really big high profile things. I think they're going to be smaller, more administrative kind of things that he just wants to make sure that he's making his mark on it.
Karen, this is a little bit off subject, but you did a very interesting story about Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor.
Yes.
And, you know, very soon John Kasich is probably going to be spending the majority of his time out of the state of Ohio campaigning for president. And that is just is going to do nothing but raise her profile.
Yes.
How far do you think she goes with this?
Well, I think it really changes her fortunes potentially, because when we talk about 2018, all of the Republican candidates who are in the five executive offices are all term limited in those offices. So there's going to be a right. bit of a shuffle to figure out who's going to run for governor, who's going to run for attorney general, and that sort of thing. And so the talk had been about governor, had been on Mike DeWine, the attorney general, and Secretary of State John Husted. Mm-hmm. Well, if Mary Taylor is elevated because John Kasich's not here and she's doing a lot of his public duties, that automatically elevates her into a higher profile. And if he does indeed win in 2016, she becomes governor. She runs for governor then, if she wants to, from an incumbent position. So it really does an awful lot to raise her profile. She had been very, very quiet in the administration, hadn't done much in terms of making any impact except for talking about the Affordable Care Act, which she was very opposed to. This could potentially give her an opportunity to really speak out and get more of her issues heard and really raise her profile and, of course, allow her to raise more money.
And make an impression on people.
Absolutely.
So, Karen, midway through this whole thing, about a year from now, we'll have what was the – it's a reconciliation, look back at it and
yes.
see what adjustments need to be made. And are Democrats talking about anything they might like to try to push for to change this at the mid-year at the midway point?
Democrats have tried. I mean, they proposed 500 amendments in the Senate. 500 amendments.
Wow.
They have tried a lot in this budget. They have done the best that they can with their limited resources in terms of their personnel. And they just keep running up against a brick wall because they have a philosophy about government and taxes and spending that just goes up against what Republicans believe. So I can imagine when we get to the MBR point where we're halfway through next year and we're hearing more about how we're going to update the budget, that of course they'll be out there once again trying to take back some things and move some things around and do things differently. But they, until the leadership changes, they're going to have a real hard time in getting some of their major ideas heard. They get wins here and there. Don't get me wrong. It happens. But their major policy points, they just have a major disagreement with the leadership in the Republicans.
What are some of the things you think they might be pushing for at the midway point? Some of the ideas.
Well, Democrats, I mean, Democrats or Republicans or both?
Democrats.
Well, I think the severance tax is going to be a big deal. I mean, you know, they do have Kasich saying that he wants a severance tax increase. And I think Democrats could seize on that a little bit maybe and try to push for that. But once again, they're going to run right up against Republicans who don't want that to increase. They feel that it will have a negative impact on the oil and gas industry in Ohio. So I could see a severance tax increase as a possible flashpoint there. But if Kasich is out of state running for president, that does take a little bit of the wind out of the sails here in terms of a Democrat, a Democratic movement to try to go up against the Republicans.
And for that matter, what do you think the Republicans might try?
I mean, certainly more tax cuts. They really like the idea of, again, they believe that tax cuts spur economic growth. So tax cuts are always one of the things that they say that they're going to do. You know, there's always more to do. I can see, some of the Senate Republicans, especially talking about college tuition. And that's something that Democrats are on board with as well, talking about how can we make some changes for college students and for families in Ohio. So I could see college tuition costs being something that both sides could actually be talking about and getting on board with in some way.
You mean beyond the 2 year freeze?
Right. I mean, I could see that, you know, this whole idea of a 5% cost cut, what can be done on that? And so I could see, both sides getting into that and trying to debate and discuss that a little bit. And charter schools, we do have this, you know, both sides say they want to enact charter school reform. They have very different views of what charter school reform looks like.
And not long after they do these midpoint corrections, they'll start all over again on the next 2 years, right?
Oh, would you stop? I mean, we haven't even signed this budget yet. I mean, this is like the presidential campaign.
Don't
as soon as
her.
One's elected, we Mark, start again. Yeah.
She's been covering these too long. Yeah. Karen, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It's great to talk about it. Thanks.
And Howard, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Ohio Public Radio Bureau Chief Karen Kassler and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds and Lizzie Kibler. The technical director was Rick Andres. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now next on 91.7 WVXU.